Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The London-based Irish author Jane Casey has brought us a series of crime novels with Detective Constable Maeve Kerrigan at their core. But for her new book, she brings us a new female lead, the barrister Ingrid Lewis, who has cause to fear for her life and is intent on finding out who's out to get her and why. Jane Casey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for being with us. I'm very excited to talk to you because I'm coming close to the end of your book, The Killing Kind, and I have very many questions. Ingrid Lewis, she's an unusual character, and I've read your Maeve Kerrigan books as well. She's a different kettle of fish. Tell me why
she
I feel
sure
that
is.
Way. Yeah.
Well, I think, first of all, the barrister, and that, I mean, I find that job fascinating. I'm married to a barrister, so I get a ringside to really like. But it's a closed world, the world that none of us really know about it on the outside.
Okay. Jane, you know what? I'm really sorry. We're going to have to try and get you on a better line because that's just not good enough. We can't hear what you're saying. So we will try and get Jane Casey back on another line because we do want to talk in detail about The Killing Kind and all of the other work that she has underway at the moment. Mary Quinlan, though, has been in touch to say so many traditional musicians are missing their sessions in pubs. They're the ones who don't get paid. They are suffering. I'm sure some of them do get paid, Mary, but I know exactly what you mean. The people who go down for a pint and a bit of a session, and we all miss them. Gary brought his 14-year-old to see Black Sabbath on their farewell tour in Dublin in 2017. It was the best gig ever. His son took up guitar as a result and now has his own rock band. Long live heavy metal. And PJ Cannon in Westmeath reckons that people, heavy metal fans, have a high level of intelligence. And PJ says he heard of a study about this. And it just so happens that PJ is a genius himself, according to himself. And he's an AC/DC fan too. Jane, are you back with us?
I am back. Is that better?
Good stuff. That's much better. Much better. Listen, we were talking about Ingrid Lewis. She's a barrister, and it's crucial to you, is it not, that she is young and she's female and she works in the law?
That's right. I mean, I'm always really interested by women having to do jobs in a slightly different way from men. And she has to go through a very different set of difficulties to any of her male colleagues in that, in doing her job, she attracts the attention of a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, I think lots of women have this experience of just wanting to get on with their life and somehow just finding themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time and attracting unwanted attention. So She's quite a tough character, but she's been through an awful lot.
Yeah, I found that interesting, your take on the impact of the stalker on Ingrid's life. So it's quite stressful to read how she has to think about how she goes home from work, for example.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, everybody who writes books takes things that have happened in their own lives and kind of amplifies that. I had experience when I was 18 of attracting some unwanted attention from a fellow student at university. So even though he was a very kind of benign person, and I don't think he had any malice at his heart, which is not the case with John Webster in The Killing Kind, he certainly put me through a lot of very difficult and uncomfortable situations. And I think writing The Killing Kind was really cathartic for me in just sort of saying, look, this is what it feels like to be targeted. This is what it's like to be singled out and to have no way of stopping someone from being obsessed with you.
So regardless of the fact that this person in your life was benign in their intention, it's about the impact.
Absolutely. Like, I think, you know, he was a very vulnerable person in some ways and very intelligent. But I found it was impossible to get him to listen to me. So it felt as if I was just not making any noise when I spoke. And that's something that Ingrid also feels, you know, she has no way out. Now, for me, it was things like being given unwanted gifts and being followed around Oxford, which is where I was studying. So, you know, trying to second guess where he would be and where I would be safe to go. And for Ingrid, it's very much more, I think someone is trying to kill me. And if I choose the wrong path, then this actually might be the end of my life.
Mm. So, it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because it's about how it makes you feel and about how it forces you to change how you live your life.
It does. And I remember there was one night. I remember I've always been a night owl, and I was living in college accommodation on site. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. There was no one around. And I heard footsteps in the corridor outside my room. And I knew immediately it was him. And he knocked on my door and I didn't answer it. And I was standing there in the middle of the room. I remember this so clearly, waiting to see what would happen and not daring to make a sound. And eventually, I mean, it felt like a lifetime, but he put a note under the door and I heard him go away. And I think that was the thing that really terrified me about it, was the fact that I knew that the door wasn't locked. But he didn't know that.
And you felt you couldn't move towards the door to lock it?
No, I couldn't. I mean, I just didn't dare. So, I mean, it's that kind of feeling. If I'd answered the door, I'm sure he would have been perfectly pleasant. But I remember so clearly standing there and thinking, I have no way of calling for help. There's nothing I can do. I'm completely trapped here. And that was just a very bad experience.
And did you do anything about it, Jane? Did you report that to anybody?
I didn't, because, you know, at the time there was no conversation about stalking. This is like, we're going back 26 years ago, and there was no sort of official way of handling any of these things. It was something that was viewed as a joke by a lot of people. I remember, you know, it was very well known that he was obsessed and that he would always kind of follow me around, and people would make jokes about it. I just looked up the University of Oxford, and they published a policy on stalking and harassment in 2014. So we're kind of like, that's a long gap between when it was happening to me and when it started to be taken seriously. So there was kind of just nowhere to go.
Yeah. And just going back then to Ingrid Lewis in the book, she has a very complex relationship. I don't want to give too much away here now, but she's a very complex relationship with John Webster, her stalker. He uses really dodgy means to get information, but Ingrid can extract some good or some usefulness out of what he does.
That's right. I mean, I didn't want to write kind of your standard stalking novel, because, you know, you always want to take things a step further. So the beginning of the novel, Ingrid has been stalked. That's kind of in her past. And then she becomes aware that someone is trying to kill her. And she turns to John Webster, because I think her feeling is either he will help her or she will get enough on him to be able to lock him up forever. So she's sort of walking a tightrope between trusting him and not trusting him. And that really is at the heart of the book.
Can we talk about the year you've just had during the pandemic? You live in London. Normally you'd be back over and back to Dublin a lot, but your mother was very ill and died very sadly at Christmas time. Now, anyone who's listening to this, who's been through that experience during the pandemic, will understand just how difficult that is.
I mean, it was really, you know, I know so many people have had this experience. I think we'll all look back on sort of 2020 as the year that didn't happen, but actually, life goes on and people do fall ill, and you know, I feel incredibly sad about the fact that I only saw her once during the last year of her life. I feel like we were really robbed of some time that we could have had and some conversations that we could have had. But she was taken ill just before Christmas. And my sister and I had that classic experience of flying back into Dublin, knowing that we were going straight from the airport to the hospital. And, you know, it's the flight that nobody wants to take. Mm-hmm. Anyone who lives abroad will have feared this, like, their whole time that they're abroad. And we went straight to the hospital to the Mater. And, you know, we arrived in from London at a time when everybody was starting to be very worried about the Kent variant and about how COVID was spreading in the UK. And so we felt as if we were putting people at risk just by being there. And it was a very complicated and sad set of experiences because of that. You know, my mother was in intensive care for about a week. And we were coming in every day and putting on PPE and going in to be with her. And we were lucky that we were able to go in and be with her, and that we had, you know, the nurses were incredibly kind and incredibly supportive of us. And that was a massive comfort to us.
I was talking to somebody coincidentally about this last night, and in their own situation, they felt angry with themselves for listening and adhering to the restrictions because of all of the conversations that they missed and the special time that they feel, as you say, was robbed from them. I mean, how have you dealt in the aftermath with all of that?
I mean, I'm trying not to be bitter about it, but I think, you know, we've just had this week Dominic Cummings talking about the shortcomings in the British response to COVID. And, you know, they didn't handle it well. And I think people in Ireland really suffered as a result of that. And it's very hard not to be angry about that. I mean, on my own sort of, I feel for myself, I did the best that I could and I tried to be as responsible as I could. And I think everyone was just trying to do the right thing, or the very great majority of us was trying to do the right thing. So that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm. And you're not alone in that experience. You know, so many people who are listening to you will have gone through it too. And to come back to the writing now, I mentioned Maeve Kerrigan. Where is Maeve?
She's coming back. Don't worry.
Good.
I have to say that because... it was quite a big thing to take a year off writing her and to write Ingrid instead. And I was lucky, I think, that readers were very forgiving about it. But she is definitely on her way back. I'm working on the 10th book.
And her colleague, D.I. Josh Derwent, we're all waiting for that moment to happen. I assume you're not going to tell me whether it's going to happen or not.
Well, I really can't, you know. But I mean, all I will say is their relationship is moving on.
And this new character, the new book, The Killing Kind, it has been bought by Sony. So what's the plan?
Well, at the moment, it has a very good pair of writers and a director attached. And we're hoping that it will end up on the small screen eventually, that it will be, you know, one of those beautiful, glossy series. And I hope that will happen. So it's a totally new thing for me to have TV and to be talking about it, and I'm supposed to be executive producer on it, so we'll see what happens.
What does that mean? How exciting. What does that mean?
As far as I understand it, it means a lot of meetings.
great. Okay, but you won't be involved in the writing for the screen, will you?
No, I won't. And I think that's really good, because I've had my crack at telling the story. The book exists and I'm really excited to see someone else have their take on the characters and turn it into something new.
Well, it certainly does exist and it's extremely good and I'm enjoying it very much. Jane, thank you very much for being with us. Jane Casey is the author of The Killing Kind, which is out now and published by HarperCollins.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.